Now we go from the coach who knows a lot to one of the bloggers out there who knows the most about the Philadelphia Eagles. We welcome Fandemonium columnist Tommy Lawler to the show. And Tommy, one of the big topics of the day is, could Chris Polk possibly be a fullback in this offense? You have written about this multiple times in the past, and you pretty much say that he can't. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have concerns partially for a couple of very obvious reasons. First, the size. At the Senior Bowl, Polk weighed 215 pounds. You generally want an NFL fullback to be 240. So even if you had him bulk up and work on it, you know, he's only going to get to 225, 230 pounds if everything goes right. So he's going to be undersized at that point, and I just don't know that that's somebody I'd want to rely on. The other part of it is that he's got shoulder issues. And as a fullback, when you're a lead blocker and you are attacking linebackers on isolation run plays, your job is to engage them with your shoulders and to seal the linebacker inside or outside so the running back has a running lane. And I just don't know if his shoulders could hold up to that. The argument for it is that he's a tough physical running back who is not scared of contact. So a lot of times when people try to project a running back to fullback, it doesn't make sense because a running back's job is to avoid contact. Well, Polk is the kind of tough physical runner that would make sense. I just don't know that he's got the body for it.
Well, Tommy, you know, we're making a lot of Mari saying that they've thought about it, but he said they thought about it. They haven't done anything about it. So I don't really think that it's that much of an issue. But it does look like Stanley Havili is going to be the guy. From looking at his tape from the first game and some of his preseason tape last year, which is the only time we've gotten to see him play, what are your thoughts on Havili?
Well, Stanley did a really good job on special teams the other day, and that's going to sound funny to some people, but that's crucial for a fullback because a fullback's only going to play 10 to 15% of the offensive snaps in a given season. So in order for him to be active on game day, he's got to help the team in other ways, and one way is on special teams. And if you go back to Brandon Boykin's 46-yard kickoff return, the key blocker on that return was Stanley Havili. So if he stands out on special teams, he's going to help himself in trying to get the fullback job. In terms of blocking, unfortunately, the Eagles did not run much from the I formation, so we didn't get a chance to gauge his blocking prowess. And that really is a question that we still have yet to be answered. So that's going to be crucial in the Patriots game. Run from the I formation. Let us see him block a few times to see if he can handle linebackers. Anybody who watched him at USC knows the kid can run and he can catch. He is a good athlete. He's a skilled football player. You just have to find out if he's a good enough blocker.
Tommy, let's keep the focus on the blocking here. What do you make of the left tackle position with King Dunlap being promoted to the first team while Demetrius Bell, who was signed to take over for Jason Peters, is now working with the second team?
Well, we've got a really interesting situation there. There's no question about it. King Dunlap is a guy who over the years has been called upon by the Eagles to fill in at guard, left tackle, right tackle, and has always stood up to the challenge and played well. In fact, I wondered quite frankly this offseason why some of these teams with really bad offensive lines around the league didn't give him a call and say, come in here and we'll give you a chance to earn a roster spot, or a starting job, I should say. I think King is a guy that ideally you don't want him as your left tackle because he doesn't have the kind of upside that you want in that position. You want that to be your best offensive lineman, and clearly King is not going to be the Eagles' best offensive lineman. But because of the Peters injury, you've now moved on to, can we find somebody who gets the job done? And King has been able to get the job done when the Eagles have called on him. The question now becomes, can he do that week in and week out? You know, he was drafted by the Eagles in 2008 and has a handful of starts since then. As a senior at Auburn, he actually got benched. So the last time that he was a full-time starter as an offensive tackle was 2006. You know, that was Michael Vick's last year in the NFL before he went away to prison. So to put things in perspective, it's been a long time since King Dunlap started a lot of games. He started 13 games that year for Auburn. So if we're projecting him now to start 16 for the Eagles, can he handle the grind of the NFL? Because durability is always the most underrated factor in football. People don't understand just how tough you have to be out there week in and week out and take the pounding these guys do.
It was also interesting yesterday to hear Michael Vick talk about, he was sort of intimating that if there's going to be some concern at one of the offensive line positions, he's glad that it's left tackle because that's where he can see things develop. He can make some plays with his feet. He also said he's got plenty of confidence in both guys, but Let's look to the other side of the ball, Tommy, where one player who's been a bit of a disappointment, obviously, is Jaquan Jarrett. He didn't have a very good game against the preseason. What is the hope? What, is there still hope for us with Jaquan Jarrett?
Well, I think there's always hope because, and I wrote about this the other day, he had a terrible game against the Steelers. But you know what? Let's not let that define him totally. The kid was good enough in college that the NFL was excited about him. You know, Greg Cosell talked about him being the most physical safety in that draft class. The Eagles drafted him in the second round. Paul Domowicz wrote for the Daily News that there were other teams prepared to take him in the third round. It wasn't like the Eagles were the only NFL team that liked him. This is a guy that had a great track record at Temple. So the talent is there. The problem is, and this is something we see every year with young players, with all 32 teams, as they go to the NFL and they adjust to the speed of the game and they adjust to all of a sudden everybody is a great player, some people just don't handle that well. And I think the big problem with Jaquan Jarrett right now is that he has zero confidence and he's playing hesitant football. If you watch the game, a number of plays, he's backing away from the line of scrimmage or he's on his heels at the snap of the football. That tells you that he's confused, he doesn't know what he's doing, and it's not that he's a dumb kid. I mean, that certainly is not the case. He's not playing with any confidence, so his head is confused. And you don't know if that light's going to come on, that where he's going to start to understand things and be able to play faster, or if he's just one of those guys that the NFL is just too much for him. And we see that every year with all 32 teams. There's guys that just can't handle the lead.
Tommy, one of the positions that's always under the microscope for the Eagles, especially on defense, is the linebacker position. With all the changes that have gone on this offseason, how confident are you in the current trio that they have starting and in the backups with guys like Jamar Chaney, who are former starters, now coming off the bench?
I feel pretty good about linebacker. And I know it seems strange to say that. You know, the Eagles have had struggles there since 2008. That was the last time the team had a really good linebacker play. But I think that they've got the right group, and there's going to be a little bit of growing pains. We saw that. If you go back and relook at the Steelers game, the first handful of plays, the linebacker play was very uneven. But then D'Amico Ryan settled in, got his feet under him, and Michael Kendricks figured out how to deal with the speed of the game and also where he needed to be lined up. And once he figured those things out, you could see Michael Kendricks is a gifted athlete. Those two tackles for loss that he had showed speed, tackling ability, closing speed, and he just looked like a natural guy out there. And I know some people have some concerns about D'Amico Ryan. He hasn't lit it up in training camp and that kind of thing. But I think you have to look back at a couple of other things here. He's admitted that this is a training camp that he's never been through before. You know, the Texans aren't nearly as physical, aren't nearly as tough in training camp. So he's sort of grinding through this thing. And I think that his legs were a little bit tired. And he also is adjusting to the wide nine front. And when you have to deal with that wide nine front, you have different responsibilities, different angles, and once he had played a handful of snaps, as the game went on, Ryan's got better. So I really think we're going to see these guys play a pretty good game against the Patriots on Monday night.
Tommy, I was going to say, Tommy, before we let you get going here, you have a lot of different avenues with what you work with. You have EaglesBlitz.com, obviously. You worked on the Eagles Almanac, and you just started a brand-new podcast. You could tell fans where they can find that at and more about it.
It's Helmet to Helmet Show, and that's the number two in the middle there. Jimmy Kemsky and I put out a show. We sort of an irregular basis right now. We're trying to put out 4 or 5 a week if we can and let fans listen to us talk about the Eagles, the NFL, and just some crazy things in between.
Great stuff there, Tommy. As always, you can follow him on Twitter, at LawlerNFL. Tommy Lawler, our Fandemonium columnist, thank you very much for joining us here in the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.